Yesterday, Mini gave class about Banashram. What flashed through my mind was Srila Prabhupada did things differently because he allowed women to be pujaris because the Banashram system isn't set up, we don't have the culture. So does that mean that in the future, when Banashram is set up, that women automatically will not be asked to be pujaris and will not asked to be gurus and all these, because it's not part of the Vedic culture for women to act in those roles?
I mean, women do deity worship. Women always did deity worship. They were just, pujaris and had pujaris in temples. But women always worship deities. It's in the Bhagavatam. It's everywhere. There's no bar from women doing deity worship. You read, the deity worshipped, the Payavrata ceremony and so on, and she just worshipped the deity. No, there's no bar on women's worshipping deities. That's more an issue of actually being in a leadership role and being actually in plain view. So in India, the same people who would complain about women offering arti on the altar, they're not going to complain about their wives doing arti at home. It's not the issue that they're doing arti. It's just that who is the, up front, what is the role of women in society? Are they up front or are they behind? It's like I recently mentioned it on devotees, we're talking to leaders. Is this the message that we want to give, that in a Harinam party you got six rows of ladies in the front? In other words, that the first thing that people, in other words, when ladies are up front dancing, etc., what they speak of with their heads uncovered and so on. Or we don't like women in the back because they get harassed. So, just put them in the room. But who should really be up front? What's the first thing people should see? What's the message we're giving people? Because it's giving a message. It's not just the chanting of the holy names. So, either you put them in the middle, or you have men on one side and ladies on the other. One row of men, one row of women. But whatever you do, it's a statement, and it's a statement of values. When we have masters of ceremonies for programs, when a lady's a master of ceremony, it's a statement. So is that the long term? Is that in Varnashram? Is that the role of women? So that one verse that was, I don't know why I skipped over, I missed it. I only found it at the end yesterday of Varnashram, which is the famous butter and fire, and it's famous because Prabhupada constantly quotes it, but it's. I'll just pull it up, but it's a indication of the values that we're trying to communicate. So small. Anyway, woman is compared to fire and man is compared to a butter pot. Therefore, man should avoid associating even with his own daughter in a secluded place. Who in this movement believes that? Similarly, he should avoid association with other women. One should associate with women only for important business and not otherwise. So this is like a constitutional statement. And it really means that, the basis of conditioned life is attachment between men and women. Unless it's restricted, if it becomes unrestricted, forget about spiritual life. Not going to have spiritual life. And one of the things that restrict association is that they do different things. And when it's equality, that they do the same thing, then that means that they mix. If they're all working, if they're all in the office place and the workplace, then they're always associating together. And the only place generally that's encouraged the mixing is at home. The husband and wife are together, there's no restriction. And of course, over a period of years, and as with so many things in Kali Yuga, there's abuse. And women have been abused. There's no question about it. They've been raped, they've been abused, they're instruments of war, there's so many things. And but what's the principle? And by giving them equality, is the abuse stopped? Prabhupada just made the point. This is just another type of abuse. You're just taking advantage of them. The men are taking advantage of the women. Let them think that they've got freedom, but, you know, the man goes away enjoying sex life and the woman gets stuck with a pregnancy, which she gets abortion, but she's the one who gets the karma for it as well. So it's not. It's just a shift in values that all of a sudden it seems like being a housewife, a mother, that these things are not a valuable thing. There's something less than someone who's toiling out there in some factory, and for some reason women should also be toiling in a factory. That's equal, that's good. Or that they should be working during the day. Why should they be doing? Why is that guy working 8-10 hours a day? He's working for his home. So no one puts any attention into the home, just so everyone can work for a home that no one's got time to be in, take care of, look nice, and that the home isn't worth anything. So it's crazy. And of course, what to speak of children. And ideally, even a husband shouldn't be away from home. This whole idea of working in the factory, working in the office, that's also crazy. That's also not varnashram. He should also be at home, because it takes a family to raise children. It's not even just a woman's business to raise children. It takes a family to raise children. So this idea that you got to commute to work, that's not what people did. They didn't commute to work. You got your garden, you've got your house. For most part of people, that's their livelihood. Or you got your store, and here's your house, and there's the store. It's like you see in Vrindavan, the kids are sitting there in the store with their parents. You don't sit in 4 hours traffic a day to go to work, or what to speak of, you know, commuting from the weekend into town for a whole week and then coming back for a weekend. That's not a family. So it's this work. So this glorification of work, the industrial revolution, of factories, of now we have consumer things, of all of these other things, and that the equality that women should be allowed to do that, and unless they're doing it, then, you know, there's something wrong. Men shouldn't be doing it, what to speak of women. They shouldn't be doing it. And and it's not a lifestyle. It's not something that people in today's world can digest. So when we suggest things like this, we ain't going to be popular, and we're going to be really backward.
Yeah.
That's all right. We're not out there to become popular. And that now becomes a real question of how this movement wants to poise itself. Are we going to be relevant to the society today? And forget about the Krishna consciousness movement if you're going to try and be relevant to the society today. In other words, with its values. Or are we out to change society? What did Prabhupada say? I mean, I challenge anyone who, you know, reads Prabhupada's book to say that Prabhupada wanted us to adapt to society and society's values. Prabhupada envisioned that we change society, and if we can, then at least let's change ourselves, or let's change the devotees, and let the rest of the world blow itself up, and maybe they'll wisen up, because that's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to do. At a certain point, Prabhupada said, actually, it's too late. He says, very difficult to change the world, not us proactively, which we can see. At least we should make the change in ourselves, and then we'll see, leave the rest to Krishna.